Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you.
And also
proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to John. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need anyone to question you. Because of this, we believe that you have come from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone because the Father is with me. And I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." The Gospel of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has come for a reason. The Spirit comes to make us holy. And I want to talk about sanctification. That's the Catholic term for being the process, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. I want to help you to understand that the Spirit of God is working in you right now, doing something, making you and I holy. I was thinking a little while ago about the saints. The word saint means holy one. We all have a favorite saint. For me, it's Saint Francis of Assisi. And I want you to think about your favorite saint. There's been so many: St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Paul of the Cross, St. Dominic, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, so many different saints. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now a blessed. And so many different saints. And one common element of the saints, think of this. Whatever saint that you have as your favorite, or any of the saints that you've heard about, one common element of the saints is this: they suffered. For example, St. Francis of Assisi, you may not know this, the founder of the Franciscans, he died when he was 40 years old. He was only about this tall, just about 5'1" or so, and when he died, he was blind. Mother Teresa, you know, we've all heard about, it was out in the news recently that she was suffering with depression or feeling like she was distant from God. Here's this holy woman. This wonderful, beautiful woman. And yet, she was undergoing a depression of sorts, they say. And then, of course, St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of the Passionist community. He lived to be 81 years old. And that in itself is a suffering. Any of you who are in your 80s, you know what it is to be in your 80s. And for many years, scholars tell us about 40, 50 years, he suffered with a dryness, a desert in his soul regarding prayer. Yet, what I love about Mother Teresa, St. Paul of the Cross, St. Francis of Assisi, they all had this wonderful joy to them, even in the midst of their sufferings. And you need to understand that I believe that God works through the trials, the tribulations. In the world you will have tribulation, Jesus tells us. The circumstances, the relationships, the physical sufferings that we have. This is the stuff, if you will, that God uses to make us holy. Let me tell you about some people that I've met. I think about my dad, for one, you know, and his suffering. And I remember a girl that I met in the seminary. She's now, after the seminary, it was about 10 years after I visited her in New Orleans. Her name is Joan. And I remember as I came to visit her, she was kind of walking like this. She had her little baby with her, and she was walking like this, and she was shaking. And now she's 40 years old, and I thought maybe she had injured her knee or something. I said, Joan, what's wrong? And she said, well, don't you remember when I was in the seminary that I had multiple sclerosis, and now it's progressed, and I'm having trouble walking. But when she said that, there she was with her little baby with this wonderful smile on her face, and it was such a witness to me that she was bearing her suffering so well. And I could see that God was working in her through her suffering. Now, I want to say something very quickly. God doesn't give you the suffering that you're dealing with. Think about your own, the physical, relationships, circumstances. God doesn't give you that, but God uses it to purify us. You need to understand that. I think about one of our priests, Father Neil Parsons. He lived to be 95 years old. Last year he died. We call him Methuselah. You know, Methuselah in the Bible lived to be about 400 years old. Well, Father Neil lived to be 95 years old. I mean, he was just always there. Well, for the last 15 years of his life, he was blind. He had a degeneration in his eye of some sort, both eyes. He was blind. But the man was so gentle, so positive. He smiled. He was happy. Even though he had to be led around, I never heard him complain about his blindness. I saw that in Father Neil, God had worked a great work in him to purify him. I think about my own dad. You know, I told you about him really quickly. My dad, when he was in the military, you know, he was in the Navy, he was a healthy, young 19-year-old, just happened to be there, and a piece of metal flew out, hit him right in his eye, seared one of his pupils shut. He became blind in his right eye just because of a split-second accident. Wasn't his fault. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, here's my dad now blind, and he got discharged from the Navy. He became a carpenter with one eye. Now, most people can't do it with two, and Dad did it with one, and what an attitude he had. You know, I used to work with him in the summer as a carpenter. Well, by the way, that's how I knew I had a call to the priesthood. I was a lousy carpenter, let me tell you. I don't know if that happened to Jesus, too, but anyway. Well, it was my dad's attitude and the way he did things and how he never complained. I saw that. See, what happens is we all come out of our mother's womb selfish and narcissistic and me-oriented, and what the sufferings of our life do, they can purify us, or they can have the opposite effect. They can make you bitter. And that's what I want to say right now. You know what? Your life right now can either make you better or bitter. It can either make you have a breakdown or a breakthrough. It can either be a prison or a prism through which you see new light. It can either be a tombstone or a stepping stone. And that's all up to you. It's your choice. You see, attitude, please get this, attitude is a major part of holiness. I think for us, you know, we always think a holy person is somebody that just kind of goes to church and kneels and looks holy. Well, that may be holiness to you, but it's not holiness to me. You know what holiness to me is? A person who smiles, has energy, lives with passion. Although they're even going through some hard stuff, a person who knows that God is working in their life, purifying them in the tribulations, in the trials. I just got an email 2 weeks ago from a father, and he said, Father Cedric, I was at one of your missions in Houston. Would you visit my son? My son was in a car accident, and something's going on in his life about God, and he needs to talk to a priest. So I went over to visit the son, 19 years old. He was addicted to cocaine. He was on drugs and got in a car accident that almost killed him. He was in a coma. While he's in the coma, he has withdrawal from cocaine addiction. You know, they say that that's one of the worst things that you can go through. Now, here he is in the hospital, in a coma, doesn't even know it, and he's going through withdrawal. So, I mean, he went through all that pain and didn't even know it. Then finally, comes out of the coma. Many of his bones were broken. He's in rehabilitation now. He lived. Many of the doctors said he wouldn't even live. And now he's believing that God is at work in his life. He used to have God in his life, then he kind of lost God, went the way of addictions and drugs and everything else, and all of a sudden he's seeing his accident as a wake-up call that God is working in his life. Now, some people, and I talked to that young man and I thought, wow, you know, he's made a choice here. He could have either been bitter or better. Some people get in an accident and they blame God. They say, God, why'd you do this to me? Why did I get cancer? Why do I have arthritis? And they're mad at God. Don't be mad at God. God's not the one who did it to you. God's the one that'll take you through to another level. God's the one that will bring holiness out of it if you'll let him. I've discovered that in all the sufferings that we go through, God's at work. Don't be mad at God. God's the one that can take you through. So I am so glad for this young man. Gave him some of my books. And I believe that God's working in his life in a very beautiful way. And he sees that God is purifying him. So, first thing I want to say about holiness is this. You have a choice. You can either be bitter or better. We all have some flavor of suffering in our life. Whether it's a relationship that's hard, it could be the kids, the in-laws, the husband, you know, the neighbors or whatever. That's one way. There's physical sufferings, there's circumstances, there's trials. Now, I started off talking about the saints. They had it too. But they allowed God to work in them, to purify them, to sanctify them, and make them holy. And I'm praying that you will see your everyday life, your, again, your relationships, your circumstances, you know, the stuff that you're dealing with, children that are crying, you know, different things like that. I pray that you'll see that as an opportunity, not an obstacle, but an opportunity for God to work. Second thing I want to tell you is this. We're all going to school. I was driving down the highway one time, or a road, and I'm driving down, and I look, and there in big white letters, school was painted on the road. And I thought, you know, because there was a school up ahead. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is so appropriate, because all of us are going to school every day. Now, I don't know what level of education you attained, whether it was grammar school, high school, college, but it didn't stop when you stopped going to formal education. School continues every day. For example, you came here this morning to learn, to grow. All of us were about growing and learning and moving and going forward. And, you know, for example, those who have gone through near-death experiences tell us that they learned in their experience with God, they learned that we are on earth to learn. We're all going to school, folks. And I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, the truly educated person, get this, the truly educated person never stops going to school. That doesn't mean graduate school, it means the school of life. So as we go through the journey of life, we're learning. And what are we meant to learn? Well, not so much history or mathematics or social studies. We're meant to learn, get this, this is part of sanctification now, we're meant to learn virtue. If you go to the catechism, it's divided into four sections, and the main section has to do with the moral life and virtue. Now, what's a virtue? Patience, compassion, love, justice, integrity, mercy. Those are the virtues. See, this is what holiness is. This is what God is trying to do in us through all the stuff that we have to go through in our life. Examine your life as you're going through. There's meaning. There's purpose to what you're going through. You just got to try to figure it out for yourself. For example, let's take a couple virtues really quickly, because I know that God is trying to make me virtuous. Because, you know, when I was a little guy, I was not very virtuous. You know, as you're growing up and you're going through, that's when God works. That's when, you know, we just pray, come Holy Ghost. We want the Holy Spirit, make us holy. You know, watch what you pray for, you might just get it. Like this woman, you know, that little boy was just crying there a minute ago. This woman has three little kids about his age, screaming away. She goes in the confessional, and she goes to the priest. She goes, Father, she says, my kids, every day they cry, they bounce off the walls, they upset me, they make noise. I am going to kill my children. Please pray for me to have patience. You know what the priest is real wise. This is how he prayed. He said, Heavenly Father, send this woman tribulation in the morning, tribulation in the afternoon, tribulation in the... She goes, Father, time out. What are you praying for? Tribulation? I asked you to pray for patience. He says, ma'am, you got to understand something. Tribulation produces patience. Ouch, I know. Watch what you pray for. You might just get it, right? What did Jesus just say in the gospel? In the world, you will have tribulation. It's hard to live. It's not easy to raise children. It's hard to stay married for all those years. It's not easy to grow older, I'm finding out, and I'm not all that old. It's hard. But God's at work if you'll allow it, if you'll see it. I've got more to tell you. Let me keep moving. What about the virtue of compassion? You know the word passion? I'm a passionist. The cross, the passion, means suffering. Come with. When you have compassion, you suffer with another person. This is a beautiful virtue. In fact, the Gospel of Luke, this is the Church of St. Luke, Matthew said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, perfect in love. Luke changes it. Be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate. You know what the genius of the 12-step program is? Hurting people help hurting people. Hurting people that have had an addiction, they're suffering, they're going through trials, somebody else comes into the program, they become their sponsor and they help them. That's compassion. You have to understand that you are not an island unto yourself. You are, and I am, a part of a continent. We're a part of each other. And whatever we go through, other people are going through in some way, shape, or form. Speaking of compassion, when I was a young guy, I didn't have a whole lot of compassion because I really didn't suffer. I didn't think about illegal aliens. I didn't think about hungry people. I didn't think about older people that have arthritis because I didn't have any of that. I'm just a young guy. And a lot of young people don't have compassion because they really haven't suffered. Like this little 10-year-old boy. He's standing there holding his thumb and he's crying. And a woman comes up to him and she says, young man, why are you crying? He goes like this, because my father hit his thumb with a hammer. She goes, now wait a minute, if your father hit his thumb with a hammer, why are you crying? He goes, well, at first I wasn't crying. First I was laughing. Figure it out. Now he had compassion. And, you know, think about it. Whatever you're going through, in a way, God's not hitting you with a hammer, but in a way, it's a way for you to open yourself up to compassion and mercy and looking at other people. You see, I really believe that one of the major ways that God works in our life, of course, he gives us the Holy Spirit, we come into a personal relationship, then we live life, and the Spirit takes the stuff of life to make us holy. Please see that. What I like to say is this. You can see more through a teardrop than you can through a telescope. Think about that. Because, you know, you're all going through different stuff. I know you are. I hear your stories. Oh, I preach in Florida. Do you know that half of the state of Florida, millions of people are widows and widowers who have lived their whole life with these people, with their spouses who have now died, my mother included, married for 54 years. Now she's a grieving widow. You know, and it's gut-wrenching, it's heart-wrenching, but this is life. So don't waste your suffering, learn from it. Let it purify you, let it sanctify you. Now, so I've said two things already. First of all, you've got a choice, not sometimes about how you're going to suffer, but your attitude toward it. Second of all, we're all going to school. What are we supposed to learn? Virtue, compassion, justice, mercy, patience, love, integrity, character. This is what God's doing. Please understand that. And here's the third thing and the main thing. I want you to get this. There is a verse in the Bible that very few people know about that I think ought to be on everybody's wall. Now hear this. People watching by TV and all of you that are here. Romans 8:29. God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. There it is. Now, what did I just say? That from all eternity, God had you in mind. He predestined you to what? To be conformed, to be molded, to be shaped, to be made into what? The image of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what God's doing in your life. That's what God's doing in my life. That's what God's doing in your life right now. Many people don't even understand that. They just kind of get up day to day, one day after another. They don't really know what God's doing. I'll tell you what God's doing. He's trying to make you and me holy. And again, it means having a good attitude, dealing with the hard people in your life, being a forgiving person, being a compassionate person, being a patient person. And the way you get patience isn't by living on a mountaintop. It's not forged in feathers. It's in the valley. It's waiting at red lights with a good attitude. It's when you go to the store and the clerk's fumbling with the change and the receipt thing runs out and everything, and you're just going, you don't give her a bad time. You just smile and pray. That's having a good attitude. That's holiness. That's part of going to school. So what God is trying to do is to make us like Jesus. Now get this. I got to do this really quickly. He's not trying to make us like Jesus with a long hair and a beard. That's not the Jesus we're talking about. Have you ever heard of the Sacred Heart? Sure you have. The Sacred Heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is a pure, virtuous, compassionate, merciful, joyous, beautiful heart. That's what God's trying to do, to conform us into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So now I've got something to show you that I want you to remember. This took a little bit of enterprising on my part, so here we go. Did you ever play with this when you were a young person, the old Play-Doh? This is how we come out of our mother's womb. Put this right here for now. We come out as a lump of clay, okay? You ever hear that saying from Jeremiah? God says, I am the potter, you are the clay. Well, watch this. We come out as a hard lump. We're selfish, we're narcissistic. What about me? You know, we're always crying to people to take care of us and our needs and everything. So we're kind of hard. So God, you know, starts to work on us. He's the potter, we're the clay. Ouch! You know, that hurts. You know, you start to feel God working in your life, and you know, there's some suffering going on. And again, God doesn't give it to you, but he uses it to help us to grow. So, you know, he starts molding and shaping and working and padding and getting us soft so our hearts will accept him and come to him in different things. And then we're just about ready to now become the image of the Sacred Heart. And it hurts. You know, he gets us to the point where we're finally open and finally receptive. And then what he does is this. The word character means to be engraved upon. Then he takes the heart of Jesus and he puts it in that lump of clay. Ah! Oh! Now, as I'm doing that, think about the relationships that you have that are hard. You got to forgive people. They annoy you. Think about your physical sufferings that you're going through. Oh! Think about the circumstances that you just hate. Think about being out of control. Think about all that stuff. This is the stuff that God is doing to make us into the Sacred Heart. And it hurts. Now, we're almost done. He's engraving upon us the beautiful image of his Son, the Sacred Heart. But there's still some stuff left around the edges. What about anger? You're an angry person. You're bitter, negative, and harsh. Ah, that's got to go. What about the negativity? You're a pessimist and always seeing the dark side of life. Ah, it's got to go. What about people that you're not forgiving? And you say, I'm not going to forgive them, and you're holding a grudge. Ooh, that's got to go. And then what about you're not even praying for people or thinking about people, and ah, that's got to go. And pretty soon, what do you got here? Ooh, let's take a look. It's taken a while. Doesn't happen overnight. But pretty soon, you get the beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it all happens through the sufferings, the hardships, the difficulties, the relationships. But God's working in us, people of God. Realize that this is God's great plan for you, to mold you, to shape you through the experience of your life into the beautiful image of Jesus. Don't ever say, what are you doing, or I don't understand. Romans 8:29, write it down so that you can get perspective about what God is doing, and may he continue to purify you. So let me end with this story. We're talking about sainthood. That's what God's trying to do to you. Now we're saved by grace, but then we're sanctified by grace. One time, this woman comes into a church with a little girl. She's 10 years old. They go to pray. And as they kneel down to pray, she looks up and there's this beautiful stained glass window of St. Luke. Little girl looks at it and goes, "Mommy, what's a saint?" So some of you might be wondering, what's a saint? Now, I've just told you a little bit about it. And, you know, how does a mother tell a little girl in a few words what a saint is? So she's struggling with the answer. And just at that moment, a cloud moved, the light poured through the window, and St. Luke danced with color. And the little girl saw it, and she said, "Mommy, I know what a saint is. A saint is a person that lets the light shine through." And this morning, and as you're watching on TV, the light is shining, giving you illumination and a realization of what God is doing in your life. And I pray this morning, whatever trials, whatever tribulation, whatever relationship, whatever physical suffering you're dealing with right now, you would allow God the potter to mold you, to shape you, and to fashion you into the very image of Jesus, his Son. And may the resurrection light of Christ raise you up and strengthen you. As Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, I have overcome the world." And may God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.